To Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have a good friend, fellow light worker, Kim Hodges is here.
Hello.
Hi. What's up? Welcome to this is the first time you're in this apartment.
This is the first time, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
And Kim's still, for the most part, 100% social distancing. I just want to say that for everyone, because you've been pretty much...
I am paranoid as fuck.
Yeah. Are you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not paranoid that I'm going to get it. It's more paranoid. Like when they said that you can pass it to people without symptoms, that, I mean, I'm a control freak anyway, but that level of, man, what if I go to my like dad and pass something to him and then he dies? Like, I just didn't want that weight on my shoulders. Yeah. So I take, or like the woman who lives underneath me is like, who knows, very, very old, maybe like 80s, and like really cute. And like, what if I were the reason that she had her last moments because I didn't just stay in the house? And most importantly, I'm an introvert anyway. So I'm thriving, working out, like painting, you know, doing my thing, art projects. Between that and work and everything else, it's been pretty cool for me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was pretty smart about stuff, but I wasn't as quarantined as you were. So it's just nice to get to see you.
It's absolutely nice to see you as well.
We're in the yellow now. So we're in Pennsylvania. Goodness. We're in the yellow, which means we're not like, what is it called? Home. And like, we're not on house arrest.
Yeah. There aren't any laws telling us that we're like forbidden to be in the streets.
Yes, exactly.
For happy purposes outside of life sustaining actions.
Yeah. A lot of stores are still closed though.
Yeah. I think it's like they have some shopping, some you can do outdoor like restaurants, to go beer if that's your thing. So we're getting there, but the stuff that I really like to do, like I haven't been to the barber to cut my hair because it's natural and I love my barber and it's like short and whatever, and I love my time with him. I have three. I love my time with my barbers, and like you go and you get a beer and you relax with them and it only takes a half hour and it's like a really wonderful experience. I miss that. I miss my nail technician a lot. My nails are really trashy, is what it is.
I mean, so are mine, but I don't normally get my nails done. It's expensive. Like when you get into routine things of like nail care and stuff like that, when you dedicate yourself to that upkeep, it's money.
It is money.
I hope one day to be able to have the kind of money where I won't worry about that stuff. It would be so nice to get my nails done, but...
Yeah, and I think we all kind of... You spend money where you... Like, what's important, like, what makes you feel good kind of thing in the ways that you like to. And, like, for me, I think my nails are probably my best assets. They grow, like, super long and whatever else. So I like to go and get a nice gel manicure every now and then.
Nice. Yeah, I like the gel too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get in. We've made a little list. So first, we're going to talk about the protests. I talked about them a bit last week with my guest, Zach. But I went to one after I podcasted right here in Upper Dublin. It was awesome because I was thinking about even maybe putting one together myself. And then suddenly, a friend sent me a poster that they were doing one at the high school.
Yeah.
So it worked out. I mean, that day we had like a crazy tornado-like storm that came.
That was amazing.
Wasn't that crazy?
It was 30. It came in, it saw, it conquered. It was a quick 30 minutes in and out.
Power down, though,
power's out.
Yeah.
We're knocking it out. One of my friends in Phoenixville, her power was out from Wednesday to Saturday. You know what I mean?
It really got real. Mine was like, I guess, 14 hours it was out, which is still annoying, but not like days, because then your food goes bad.
Oh, yeah. I actually had to go to my parents' house to get food because everything was, their three refrigerators and freezers were defrosting. So I guess they're...
They were like, come eat before all this is bad?
Yeah. But then I'm also like, why do you why do you have that many freezers?
That's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food. You know what I mean? What do you?
I've got a cute little, like, it's not too little, but my fridge can only fit so much, which I like.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, before all of this crazy stuff, I was going to the grocery store once a week and just kind of, I mean, it was probably wasteful. I mean, it was wasteful, but it was good. I was just only having what I wanted for that week, basically, as I was shopping.
Yeah.
And then once COVID hit, now it's a two, like, I only go out to the grocery store once every 2 weeks. That's okay. How distancing I am. I'm like doing my best to just keep good it for in.
Yeah. I only like going food shopping that often anyway.
I hate food shopping.
It's annoying. I'm in and out as best I can be.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'll talk about the podcast real quick, and then I want to get your opinion on podcasts.
Yeah.
Podcast protests.
Whatever you want, I'll share.
My brain is good today. So at this particular protest I went to, it was smaller because the storm had just come through. But it was super peaceful. The cops were driving by and honking in celebration of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice. And I just want to state that because there are a range of protests going on. And there are a range of protesters and different types of cops out there. So all of those ingredients determine how it goes. But I am very much for us coming together and making a statement that police brutality needs to stop.
Yeah.
Once again, am I for people looting or setting things on fire? No, but do I understand why that behavior is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When people hit a limit, it erupts in a certain way. Look at volcanoes. Okay. Even Mother Earth does that. So I'm not saying that's the best, most efficient way, but when you're, you know, rubbing up against such brokenness and abusive power for so long, people snap, and not just in the race stuff, like even in homes, you know, if someone's getting abused or hurt, people snap in different ways,
right?
But people have limits. So
absolutely. And I think my position is I'm here for it all. I personally will not participate in everything. I'm not. If I think something could be dangerous, then I will probably stay away from it, just because I feel as though it's like, then I can't help in other ways, essentially, if it's like broken me too much. But at the same time, I'm deeply appreciative of people who are willing to go, you know, into the heart of the city to protest and to use their voice and to stand up for injustice.
Yeah.
I would have went to Upper Dublin because I would have felt like more safe there, like they were going to be a little bit more in line.
I should have told you about it.
I was actually really shocked that they even had one. I mean, I've honestly have been shocked at the response that's happening. Like, I have no idea if it's COVID or the fact that Trump's in office or like what happened. Like, people were social distancing in their homes, or they were bored and they didn't have other things to distract them. But I am shocked at the response to what happened with George Floyd, because it's not like this is new.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, this happened. It's another time as an African-American woman where it's really upsetting and it impacts you. Like, there's no way for you not to, or for me rather, not to have my spirit bruised by things along those lines, because it's just so sad and upsetting and it feels so disempowering. And it's like, man, this just keeps happening. But it's also like, you know, we had Freddie Gray, we had just so many different people where I'm surprised that it happened, because I watched really terrible things happen, be in the news, and people just seem to really not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to use the word not give a fuck, but it's like, I'm too comfortable where I am right now, so I'm not really going to listen or acknowledge, you know?
Yeah.
And for protests, there's different ways that people contribute, and you have to find the way that really works for you. And I do think it is the people that are looting and rioting that are really creating a change, because I think that causes economic impact. It causes the news to really be paying attention. If it's just a peaceful protest, people don't necessarily care. They're, you know, it's not something that is as newsworthy. And unfortunately, like, even within the civil rights movement, it wasn't all like peaceful from the perspective of whom. Definitely not peaceful for the protesters who were having fire hoses and dogs let out on them.
Amen.
And not every protester was peaceful either. Like, some things got real, like Vietnam, like, you know, at different times things have gotten real. So it's hard to say that they're ineffective or it's not efficient, because if it were just about peaceful protesting, it would have never happened, you know, because we would have addressed it a long ass time ago. We wouldn't have been mad at Kaepernick for kneeling. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I know. How ridiculous does that seem now? Woof. It already was ridiculous to us.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, oh, remember when you all had a problem to kneeling?
Yeah. Or you didn't have a problem, but you watch football anyway. Just like, man, he doesn't really want that job. He's into other things now, you know?
Yes.
And just like, yeah, kind of completely let him get fired and said, well, football's entertaining for me, so is what it is.
Yeah. No, you make a really great point. And I saw someone, I forget if it was on Instagram or Twitter, where they were saying, you know, it took riots and protests for the Civil Rights Amendment, if I'm saying that right. My history, but the way of phrasing some of the bills that have passed, whatever, aren't always completely accurate. But
sure,
it took those things to get through because of some things burning down. And once again, you and I both aren't like, yay, burn things down that don't need to be burned down. But if that's the only way to get people to listen and change, then that's what has to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge it personally.
Yeah.
And I'm also not going to judge, like, to your point about the volcano. You know, one of my friends, I had one friend who said, I'm going down there and I'm just going to throw this out there. He is not black. He said, I'm going down there and wanted to riot because he wanted a piece of the action. That to me is completely different than, like, I had another friend who was peacefully protesting and he watched the cops basically direct the peaceful protesters in Philadelphia into, like, away from the media and into kind of the poorer neighborhoods. And then a group of cops started to attack people, attack women from behind. And you know, I'm not saying this is all cops or whatever, but if something like that happens and then people start rioting, that there's a trigger that causes a reaction. And I'm not here to tell you how you're supposed to react to being abused. Like, I just don't think that's what my space is. If anything else, I think the more productive conversation is, you know, moving forward, like, how do we make change? What are you going to do personally to address your inner racism, to become anti-racist? Shout out to Adrienne Milner. Like, if you do not know about being anti-racist, she is a race scholar. She went to Upper Dublin with me, graduated, and she will help you out. She will help you learn. There's all the information and books and everything else that you need to do. So you just, like, check yourself a little bit and then also check your voting policies and the things that you really care about and how you're treating people. A lot of businesses, too, are saying things like, we support your community. And I'm like, dude, if you're supporting my community, that means that I'm not a part of your business. So that means you're not talking to me. That means I'm not working for you. That means, you know, and that perspective of separation versus, like, it's not just a black issue. This should be an American issue that this is happening. You know, if it happens to one of us, it's happening to all of us. Mm. And I'm not even going to bring up what's happening to the Native Americans, but
you can, please do it.
Well, they actually, I was talking to Adrienne about this the other day, like, they actually have a higher rate of police deaths than black people by percentage. So I don't know, like, you just have to meditate on everything that's happened to them and the fact that, in a sense, like, there's no one giving a fuck when things happen to them. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's just inappropriate that I hope one day, like, to the point that we were talking about, the goal is a world where everything, like, we're peaceful and we're respectful and we're kind and everything works for everyone and you're working through your inner shit and your problems and your trauma so that you can show up that way and not be the asshole who has been disempowered and is still upset about it and not healed from that, so then you're disempowering other people.
Yep.
And that's not a statement against police. Like, I personally am happy to, for police to have proper funding. But I also know that in my lifetime, like, I've had to check myself and say, what experiences have you had with police? And police have been very helpful to me when I've needed them at different times. So I'm not saying they weren't like dismissive at times, but I think that was really more of like a sex-based thing than a race-based thing. And I'm not saying that I haven't been around officers who have made me uncomfortable, but I definitely have leveraged them. So I'm not trying to abolish the police at this juncture. But if we got to a society where it was like, dude, we're just fucking functioning really well and yeah. we don't need to have police, I'd be okay with that too, because all of those good men and women could do something else to be productive in our society. I think that would be beautiful.
Yeah. I hear you, you know, with the Native Americans, and it just feels like if there's a place where someone can abuse their power, unfortunately, mm-hmm. due to people's inner pain that they haven't dealt with,
yep.
not every person, mm-hmm. but those who are hurting and enjoy somehow taking it out on others,
yep.
they'll do it. So it's like, oh, here's a group, Native Americans, where they can't really, not that they can't stand up for themselves, but in a sense where they're easily overpowered because how much it was already taken away from them historically.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's like, okay, so yeah, we as a collective, there's an issue of, okay, if I have this kind of a power, you know, will I or won't I take advantage of it? And I feel like right now a lot of people are choosing to abuse their power. But that's where the inner work comes in, because not only can that be seen in racial issues, but in the education system, mm-hmm. banking system,
yep.
the way food is produced in our society, it's everywhere, and we have to start really together changing the system. My boyfriend's always like, what does that mean, changing the system? What does that mean, the system? And I'm like, I guess that's conceptual, but it's starting in the minutiae of your life,
yeah.
of like, okay, how am I maybe misusing my power, whether it's with family members, right. friends, whatever situations, but it's taking a look also at some hard places, because every one of us has had a time maybe where we have abused power. There are just different Absolutely. Levels to yep. it,
mm-hmm.
but we need to take that hard look within. And like you said, learn to create a new earth where we're treating each other with love and respect.
And you have to go through the process with yourself with kindness, and you have to get past the fact in this case that you're racist. Like that concept of being a bad person and, oh, I'm racist, so I'm a bad person. You have to get past that, or else you're never actually going to look at how fucked up things are. And yeah. if you're able to look at it and say, you know what, that wasn't right, or I did this, I did that, where did these thoughts come from? Why do I believe these things? Is this even true, basically?
Do you think people know they're racist?
No, I think people are starkly like thinking, like, you remember when George Bush got on, I think it was on Oprah, and he's like, to call someone a racist is the worst thing that you could call them. And it's like, George Bush, out of everything that has happened in your lifetime, you're worried about being called a racist? You know what
that
I mean?
That says a lot.
Yeah. You know, and it's almost like in the society that we live in, if it's built off of racial oppression, then it's going to be, and it functions, it is built and function off of racial oppression. Like, even if you're looking at immigrant workers and how we like mistreat or migrant workers, or like there's just certain races and classes or whatever else where we're, other people are profiting off of the oppression of another group or class of people. That means that you are automatically growing up racist just based off of the conversations that were, the stories you heard, the thoughts that you were raised with, the experiences, the media. There's just so many ways where things, you're just bombarded with racist ass shit that you didn't even know was racist.
Our textbooks.
Oh my God. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm like, thank God.
The brave white men who conquered for America. Like, I remember even back then reading this and being like, oh no, like, our country did some fucked up shit. You cannot yeah. cover this up.
Yeah, like the way that we're telling stories, even down to what stories are being told. So to mm-hmm. me, it's disempowering. Like when you look at, like, I'm so glad I went to Howard University because it forced me to, not, I would have anyway, but I was, had the opportunity to take a couple classes in African American studies. And the main thing that it taught me was that everything that I had learned about the trade system was, or the slave system and the slave trade was really wrong. Like, it was just this one narrow story and perspective. It didn't talk about the diversity of the experience between the Americas, between like whether you were in the Caribbean versus the South versus the North, and how what it meant based off of whether it's like land population, what that meant for you as a slave. And the reason that's important is one, like narrow stories told, and people just have one narrow conception of what it means to be Black, what it means to, I mean, even just calling all Black people African-Americans is inappropriate. Like, not everybody's an African-American. They may come from other places and be in America, basically. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have that same African-American experience. Or, I don't know. I know people do not recognize that they're racist. And it's because it's like, oh, my God, it's so bad to be racist. It's like, no, just fucking embrace it. Love yourself with it. And look at it and be like, oh, are all black people really just good at sports? Is that their major contribution?
Do some people really think that? I guess there must be some.
I think that people look to the stereotype and like they lean into the stereotypes a little bit, like a lot heavier than they necessarily should. So I've had people say to me, I worked at one job in ExxonMobil. I don't know if I should say that, but this one of my coworkers was like, you know what I noticed about you, Kim? I was like, what, Andy? You know how you speak? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I noticed you don't use like, I forgot what word he said, but he basically was complimenting me on my proper speech. Or I've had people talk to me about my natural hair, or I've had people talk to me about like just different things that were just like, I don't even know how to respond to you. And you have no idea that what you just said was offensive. You think you're complimenting me.
The dumbassery is real.
It's real as shit. Yeah.
I'm sorry to call them a dumbass. Not sorry. But like people say stuff that you're like, did that really just come out of your mouth and you were okay with that flying out of your mouth? Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, people don't know. And there's a real sense space of ignorance that is real. But at the same time, like, we all have ignorance towards things. So like, I know, of course. When I was younger, I feel like it was much more okay to make homophobic comments. So I can't pretend that I never, like when I was a kid, never said like, oh, that's so gay, or like something along those lines. Like, to me, I had to like take a moment to think and say to myself, what am I really saying? And is this kind or nice? And it's like, no, it's really fucking offensive and rude. I had to check myself, quick check, changed it. Don't use that language anymore. Now I move on with my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time it was something that was just very natural and prevalent, and the way that things were doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it's not homophobic. Doesn't mean I didn't participate in that bullshit. I did. I still don't think I'm a bad person. That's what I want to invite every person who's afraid of being racist to do with racism. Just think it was the time. It's how we were raised. Let's do it.
Yeah, and you're getting into the healing journey, right, of authenticity and not having to be perfect, meaning if you see a place within yourself that does make you uncomfortable, you spot it, you got it. You invite it in. You don't invite it in as an excuse to be that, but you say, okay, there's a part of me that is this thing. Let me be honest and acknowledge it's here for something to actually shift, heal, alchemize.
Right, because it's just another part of the ego to think that you're better than other people because you're not a certain way. And I think like a more true perspective is that you don't know who you would be under different circumstances. So unless you're making conscious choices and decisions about who you want to be and why you want to be that way, you know, it's not about being better. It's just about being like, that's not in alignment with what I feel is really right. Yeah. You know, and like I always say this as well, when I was younger, it didn't feel right to use the word gay in the way that I was. So there was a part of me that knew, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, life.
Crazy.
Did you feel that growing up in and going through our high school, did you come into contact with a lot of racism there?
Well, I was tracked in Upper Dublin High School, or middle school rather, on two different occasions. So there's a perfect example of systemic racism. So Upper Dublin, as soon as it's changed now because people brought it to light and lawsuits and whatever. And I hope it has been dismantled. I don't know what they're implementing and if it's better or whatever, but it was.
Do you mean
problem.
The tracking of classes?
The tracking
that you
of
mean?
Classes okay. started at sixth grade, whether you okay. realized it or not, when they started to group kids in a certain like math class together, then all of a sudden kids are moving together in a certain track.
Got it.
Whether you're for or against tracks under like outside of the racial context is, you know, debatable, whether like what's good, what's bad. But what would happen repeatedly in Upper Dublin is they would always track black kids at the lower tracks. So you might have been black and you made it into enrichment. And then let's say there was like a behavioral problem. Boom, you're kicked out of enrichment, which was illegal. For my case, my teacher, seventh grade, I forget her name. She was really nice. Told my mom that she didn't think I was in the right track. So she moved me into a different track. All my classes changed, whatever the case may be. So I moved into a different track and did well in that track, got all A's and B's. And then the next year I was moved down again, back into the lower track. So then I got in trouble that year because I was asking too many questions in class. And my teacher gave me a lunch detention or something really inappropriate because I didn't do anything. But she felt like she thought I was like intentionally trying to disrupt class, but I was just bored because it wasn't the right level of challenge for what I needed. And my mom realized at that moment that I was tracked lower again, and then I had to switch all of my classes again in eighth grade. So my mom is a principal, was a principal, was in education her whole life. So she was aware of the tactics that were being used and how things went. So she was able for me to say, okay, this isn't right. And now I'm going to fight to have my daughter placed where she should be. My sister had a back operation when she was in eighth grade. She was out of school for like 6 weeks or longer because she couldn't move for a really long period of time. She had scoliosis. They put a pole in her back. It was a very tough period. So in that one quarter that she had a back operation, she had a B in a class, and it was the only B that she had. And then when she applied for honors classes, they told her that she was ineligible for that reason because she had a B. Do you know what I mean? Like there were just certain things where it's like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. first time, maybe it was a mistake in seventh grade, right? Maybe you guys just didn't realize. But then again, in eighth grade, all right, you know, what's happening here? And then you get all of these stories of people who were discouraged to go to college or told to go to tech school, mm-hmm. or I'm even going to take it down to if you are really good at a sport, you don't need to necessarily do your work and you don't necessarily need to have the functioning skills, but we're still going to let you graduate and not going to not believe in you enough to have the ability to do better or more, basically. We're just going to push you through because your value is associated with sports. So that kind of brings it back to your question. Absolutely, I believe people like are looking at black people and their value for an ounce of what is actually brought to the table and completely unaware of history with all of the contributions, inventions, and different ways, like different successful stories and areas, because it's not shared. And those things won't be shared. So you have to, if you want to know, and if you want to diversify your perspective, you kind of have to take it upon yourself to really say, like, are my thoughts and my perception real, or is it just my limited paradigm to what I've exposed myself to?
Yeah. I mean, amen. And I think I saw myself in Upper Dublin, what you're talking about. Did I personally experience it? No. And that's what white privilege is for people who still don't understand what that is. It's the fact that I'm not saying I had an easy life, but I know and was aware that the color of my skin led me to not have that kind of discrimination and certain abuses applied to me because mm-hmm. of that. And people who can't even acknowledge that and that it exists, it's like, well, that's a certain kind of ignorance that needs to be healed. It's like, but all of this needs to be changed like yesterday. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like no more. And I don't know exactly how I feel about tracking either. I'm not really for it because I also, and then this would be a whole other conversation, that I don't know if I want to fully get into, but in terms of education and like what we label as learning disabilities,
yeah,
are often just learning differences. Mm-hmm. I know so many people who were told that they are dyslexic, mm-hmm. where it just turns out that they're brilliant people who just learn slightly differently. Mm-hmm. And we are just so quick to put labels on people in so many ways that just limits the thing. So like, I don't know. I'm not saying I have an answer, because sometimes maybe tracking does help, but maybe less tracking and more interests. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, these kids are similar because they really love the engineering side.
Oh my God, yes. Like, not this. Everybody's meant for everything. Absolutely. Yeah,
because that would change the whole thing, where you can still have certain kids together because their passion is similar.
Yeah.
But you're not like, and standardized testing, the whole fucking thing. But real quick, today's podcast is sponsored by Care Of. And Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long term. So what you do is you go onto their website, takecareof.com, and they have this incredible, really fun online quiz. So you answer some questions about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle. And then Care Of will recommend a list of vitamins and supplements specifically for your health needs and goals. And then they send you these packets, which they're a little bit changed right now. I'll get into that. But they sell you these personalized, they bring you these personalized packets that are great. And after you take the quiz, if you don't really want to follow the expert recommendations, you can adjust your pack at any time. However, just know that right now the personalized daily packs that are very, very cute and I love them, but for a short time, they're temporarily shipping their supplements in bottles as an extra step to make sure they're keeping their customers and team members safe while also fulfilling orders as quickly as possible. Don't worry though, their daily vitamin packs will be back soon. And I really love it because it makes it really easy to maintain your health goals. So go on, take that quiz. I promise you it's fun. And also know that they are made of wholesome ingredients that you can recognize. And I like wholesome ingredients. I don't like when you look at something and it's got like a bajillion ingredients that you can't even pronounce. And they're also really, really focused on quality, science, and research, which goes into each of their products and recommendations. So for 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code INVASION50. Once again, for 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter INVASION50. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Kim, let's get back to what we were
talking. It's all good. I mean, I was actually like, man, I should do that.
No, it's amazing. Seriously. Yeah. And
clean ingredients. Yes.
I got some cranberry pills in mine, which by the way, so the advertisement's over, because I don't know if they'd appreciate me saying this part, but it's really good for vaginal health. Cranberry pills. And
I think everyone should support a happy vagina.
Everyone should support a happy Amen. Vagina. But I think men like cranberry too. I think it's like kidney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm not medical. This is no longer the advertisement. They'd be like, oh God, Dr. Kate, like cranberry. I think it's good for your kidneys. I don't know, but it is. I love cranberry. And there's a lot of other stuff. There's one thing I have in there, like ashwagandha or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They have a lot on there. So you should check it out.
I will.
And better use my promo code if you do.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Shall we, what were we, oh, we're talking about school system and just change the whole fucking thing, everyone. Yeah. Well, I feel like so many of these things, this is going to sound like a really valley girl way of saying this, just suck the fun out of life.
Yes.
Right? It's like, yeah. We all just want to live a really good, in-tune life where our life force is fully activated.
Be happy.
We've come here and manifested to be happy. And here we are like, oh, I'm going to treat you differently because of your skin color. Like, what the fuck? What kind of... It's beyond elementary. No, it's not even beyond elementary, because even little kids aren't that dumb. Do you know what I mean? Little kids love people. Yeah. It's just, I don't understand it. It's just a way to like place your hate that doesn't make sense.
You know what it is? It's that everybody, like, we're coming from a society that's based off of a monarchy. So if you have a monarchy, there's someone at the top, there's other, like, that person is taking power, taking power, taking power, taking power. And when you do not have a spiritual foundation, and you can be religious and spiritual or religious and not spiritual, you can be, you know, not religious and spiritual, you get the point. But when you don't have that, the space that you're gaining power from, coming from within, coming from that sense of connection, coming from that sense of rightness and purity and everything else, then you're looking to steal your power and to gain your power from stealing it from other people. And it's that competition versus like, hey, there's enough for everyone. You don't need to even worry about it.
Yeah. Once again, sucking the fun out of everything. The school system, I think, is really good at sucking fun out. Even not just with racial issues, just the way they treat kids.
Yeah.
I'm the boss. I'm the teacher. I'm the principal. And I say what goes. Yeah. We need to start listening to each other and to our bodies. Whatever.
I'm going to get into that.
I know. I kind of want us to get into some like lighter stuff too, because you're so funny and like,
thank you.
Do you want to talk about people apologizing to you? And then we can kind of move on to other topics. I just thought it was funny. Like,
well, no, I was telling Kate that I really was not expecting this like outpour of support. And it's beautiful because that's really what has changed between this instance and when things have happened in the past. So many more people are vocal and so many more people are doing things like protesting, and they're bringing protests to their neighborhood. And like, this has happened across the world, and this is like a movement. And it is so beautiful to see, and I'm so grateful for it. And I really do hope that it leads to like actual change and stuff that's like really effective as well. But one thing that's happening is I'm getting people that I'm really not expecting to reach out to me. They reach out to me for support and they're saying like, I'm so sorry that this is happening. And I just want you to know that like, I am here for you. And like, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm learning, you know, and let me know if there's anything that I can do for you kind of thing. And in my head, I'm like, I don't even know. It just throws me off. Like, I'm thinking we're talking about something else. We're bringing it into something totally different. I personally don't need an apology. You know, it's one thing if you're like, hey, you know what? I noticed I've been a little racist and I probably did X, Y, and Z to you, or like whatever. You know what I mean? Like specific things. If you've done something to me, sure, apologize. If not, I don't even know how to respond, you know? And then I'm thinking in my head, how do I make this person comfortable? Then it kind of defeats the purpose of the apology a little bit. You know what I mean? It just gets a little...
We were kind of laughing before, but now as you say it again, it sounds really beautiful. Like, it's
silly. I feel bad even saying it. I feel bad saying it because I know people are just doing their best. It's like, man, I have no idea what to do, but what can I do? I can apologize. You know what I mean? I can reach out and I can let them know I'm sending my support and X, Y, and Z.
No,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
Cute.
It is beautiful, but it's also funny because I'm also like, okay, well, where do we go next in this conversation?
Because you probably don't like expect it.
No,
and then suddenly
it's people I haven't talked to in years.
But it's nice. I mean, whether they want to give you an apology or just acknowledge, like, I think my way, which I do anyway outside of color with you, is just appreciating who you are in your totality. Like, Kim is a goddess. Okay. And she just got it going on in every way, mind, body, spirit, you
Thank
know?
You kindly.
So for me, it's like you can also show love in just seeing a person and really acknowledging all that they're about. And if you want to apologize because you have a friend who you think may have been subject to awful systemic racism, by all means, you know, but.
Yeah. Well, and also like the things that I've been through because I learned to start to create from within and to start to like turn really within and like my relationship with God for how I live my life. I am not holding on to, like, I'm not mad at the system because it tracked me when I was in eighth grade. I don't give a fuck. I'm still doing well. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm coming for you. You know? Like,
but it's a reality that people don't necessarily know is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I feel gratitude that like my mom was who she was to be able to help me out in the way that
she
did. She
sounds badass.
Yo, my mom is not a joke on many levels.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, but at the same time, like, so I'm not there. And also, my peak of being upset is not George Floyd. I peaked years ago. Something else to kind of bring up. You know, I don't know if you noticed it, but for a while, we really didn't hear about any of these police brutality things, right? So it was like we heard about them during Obama. We really didn't hear much during Trump. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits, boom, back in the media. All right. So years ago, when I don't know if it was Freddie Gray or who it was, something, I think it was Philando Castile, when he literally, like they said, will you please will you please get your ID? And he said, I'm getting my ID. My hands are in the air. I'm just getting my ID, officer, from the glove compartment. I need to open it now. And he still died. Like, in that moment, I was just like, Jesus effing Christ. Like, if they're telling you to do something and you can't even comply to what they're doing, and it still is scaring this person for whatever reason, that's like, how am I going to be able to make it? And plus, I just like cut my hair short and like I look like a boy a little bit, you know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus, like, oh my God, there's no hope. And it made me paranoid, and it really triggered me into this space. And that's when I had to have a conversation with myself about like, all right, you have not experienced these personal experiences so much with the police. You've had positive interactions with the police. The police have helped you. You have friends who are police officers. Like, this is what I was experiencing in the moment was just pure like trauma. Like, it was like PTSD almost, but it was almost like transgenerational PTSD of like stories being brought down and the stuff that you just carry with you that's just triggered by an environmental circumstance. So that was my peak. So this happened with George Floyd, and it hits me emotionally because it can't, but I'm also recognizing that I can't be of benefit to society not being my best self. So I learned the tools over the years to really be able to take care of myself. So I'm like doing my yin yoga, got my meditation going. I'm eating my vegetables and eating healthy with a little bit of meat, you know, and awesome. I'm taking care of myself during the time frame, turning the media off, totally disconnecting, doing my artwork, doing what I need to do to make sure that I'm okay during the time frame, and letting other people go out and protest, because I just know like it's not going to be a good thing for me to participate in that. So when people are coming to me and saying like this is just so terrible and I just feel so bad and I'm so sorry and just want to let you know I'm listening, I'm learning, and let me know what I can do and all of that other stuff, I'm not in that space. Like, in my head I'm like, okay, I'm glad that you're there, but go read, go figure it out. Like, go talk to Adrian. That's when I send them to Adrian. Send them straight to Dr. Milner. I think it's Dr. Milner in yoga, to her IG page. And she will educate you. I think she even has like a workshop to help people understand like what's happening, that's happening for free. So check her out if you are one of those people feeling guilty and not knowing what to do. There are real things.
I saw this beautiful video on Facebook of, I wish I knew it was where, a whole, it was like, I think through a church kind of thing, but the white people in the church kneeled down and uniformly apologized to the black people in that church. I believe that's what, I think it was all through a church, and not everyone was crying, but like, 'cause sometimes when people set up those things, it doesn't feel authentic, whatever, but it really felt like they were saying, like, we acknowledge what's going on and we are collectively sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like anyone was getting, you know, beat down in it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, the white people are like saying I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But they were like, by bending the knee to them, it was also just like honoring them.
Yeah,
like, we're sorry and we honor you. Right. And then like, and then they kneeled down with everyone, and it was like people were crying, and I was like, there you go, like
healing.
And I'm not saying it has to be that exact way, but there is, I mean, it's built on, and I do want to move on so we can get to somewhere else. But it's built on slavery that happened, like you said, not just from Africa. There were lots of places that people were stolen from their homes and their land, their family.
Yeah.
And brought here to be abused.
And,
so
yeah, and just to clarify, the thought is like there were different places from Africa that the African slave trade people were taken from, and they were brought to different areas within America. So the way that you experienced slavery as a slave depended upon, you know, who either you were either sold to or who stole you, you know, where like the way the Spanish handled slavery was different than the way that the English handled slavery was different than whatever. Maybe you lived on a slave plantation in the South. then that means your living quarters is going to be a different circumstance than if you're a slave to somebody in, let's say, New York City, mm-hmm. right? Like, they don't have the space. So all of those different nuances changes the experience itself. And True. It's not just this one linear experience in this one story. We're basically told one narrative. That's the only thing that you're seeing in the movies.
Yeah.
And it's the Black contribution to America and the Black experience it's probably one of the most diverse experiences.
Yeah.
And the contribution is immeasurable. So we're told about like just a narrow amount of things. And it's like, you don't know yeah. who all the inventors are and everything else. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, we've got heavy, we can get light.
Yeah, we'll get light in a sec. But, yeah. but also they were also stolen from the islands, like you were saying too, though, right?
They were from Africa to the islands.
Oh, to the islands.
Right. So it's coming from Africa and it's going to different places.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, there were different experiences that happened in the islands versus what would have happened in Virginia.
Got it. Okay.
And they're going from
different parts. Look who needs to do more of her history research.
It's not your fault.
Kate Wolf.
It's not your fault. Like, you weren't taught it in school. You're taught like this really crappy,
yeah,
minuscule story. So
yeah, it's bullshit. Anyway,
yeah,
let's talk about twin flames. No,
let's talk about love.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get romance. Happy again. Yeah, unicorns, mermaids. Well, even before that, I just want to say this real quick. So my boyfriend CG Erickson has written a fictional book loosely based on some of his experiences.
Oh, awesome.
But if anyone listening is a literary agent or knows of a great literary agent who sells fiction, please email me kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And I've read it and it's freaking amazing. So I read it a while ago. Yeah, I'm in awe. So anyone who wants to maybe make a lot of money and help sell his fucking awesome book, hit me up. Okay, now.
Good for him.
That, yeah, I love how he did it because he really did combine. Like, it's definitely fiction, but there's so much of his story still woven throughout it. But I think there's so much. By doing fiction, there was more freedom for him to play around things. I don't know, it's really, you would love it.
Oh, absolutely.
And it goes a lot into the disease of this world.
Oof.
I mean, how could it not? He's Oof. Someone who's been up against the system in a whole other way.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, I won't talk about that too much. Let's talk about twin flames.
Let's talk about love.
Let's talk
you
about
think he's
love.
Your twin flame, right?
I do, but he doesn't use terms like that. He's not, I don't think he's against it. I don't know. I mean, if he were
he's
here right
just
now.
Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I've explained to him what it means and I've tried to even, because for me, it's very also Adam and Eve stuff. And I was not, I was raised Jewish. I'm spiritual. Yeah. I'm not religious, mm-hmm. but I do believe there's a lot of truth and significance in biblical stories, the Torah, mm-hmm. the Quran, so on and so on.
Do you mean from like a, what, from what perspective, like a historical perspective or a metaphoric perspective? Or?
Both. I think mm-hmm. it's hard sometimes to know, like certain stories I think are more metaphorical, whereas mm-hmm. I think some, as outlandish as they sound, could have really happened. Mm. I also am into Atlantis, Lemuria. Okay. I believe we're waiting on the enlightened aliens right now. All these memes are out there. What's
I
next?
Will
the aliens?
Tell you, aliens like, scare me, but maybe I'm being alienist.
Well, certain aliens out there are more aggressive, warlike aliens.
Okay.
And then there are other aliens that are more into the love vibrational frequency of connectedness. And those would be the kinds of aliens you interact with.
I hope that they're just invisible. Do you know what I mean? I just want to be completely ignorant, but like do your loving vibrational stuff to help the world.
If they land in my backyard, Kim, I'll tell you about it first.
Okay.
I'll let you know, I'll give you some insight into them and then you can decide if you want to come to the alien party.
And I think that's the way it would need to happen. Like you would need to help walk me through it. I would need to hold your hand. You need to be like,
oh, absolutely.
Kim, this is safe, you know?
And then you'd have to remember your star seed journey and all of that stuff. All of a sudden, like, the Lyrans maybe would come down. Lyrans are one of my favorite alien groups.
So maybe, into, there's a meditation guy. I don't really know like what he does, but his name's Steve Noble. He makes these meditations on YouTube and they are dope. And they're like these visualizations that can be anywhere from like 16 minutes to like an hour. And he has like different topics or whatever. And he'll use like angels, and I'm totally comfortable with that. And he'll use just different things, but he'll call us star seeds. And I know that I 1000% align with his work because I'm like, this works. Like I did one for anxiety one day and I was like, I felt some shit released from the system. Like I feel like a new woman, like I'm revived, you know? But yeah, he'll use certain language. And then I'm just like, I don't really know what you're talking about, but I'm cool with it because like, if I just don't know, like I choose to just like not think about it. Did Atlantis exist? I don't know. Maybe it could have. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? Is it fake? I don't care, you know,
but that's a great attitude. 'Cause that's just overall open-mindedness without having to cling on to like, I know what happened when we're still in the mystery of that. Yeah. So
live in the mystery of faith, like a good Catholic.
I kind of want to connect the twin flames. So twin flames, in my opinion, is they are mirror images of each other on this dimension in the earth plane, which is beautiful because everything, in a sense, is your mirror here to look within and grow. But it's like that particular person in a very unconditional love kind of way really is supposed to mirror your beauty so you can love yourself on a deeper level. And it's, once again, unconditional because we're all humans. We all have flaws, and you can kind of see yours, once again, in a very beautiful way, clearly in the other person. Yeah. But so that's what I believe. A lot of people don't believe that, and that's fine. But we were also talking about Alice in Wonderland, so I kind of wanted to make the connection.
Can I ask a quick question about twin flames, though? Because I feel like like different people have said different things, so then it just makes me... That's when I'm just like, all right, I don't get it. I'm confused. People have talked about false twin flames, or they've talked about like how do you know like this is your twin flame, you know what I mean? Or what if your twin flame, like, it's supposed to be an unconditional beautiful way, what if the person's, you know, been through some shit and they're just not in that space to be able to express love in that, you know what I mean? Like, you have to do your own work to be able to get to a space to like really, you know, be that person that you're talking about. So what is the experience if you just haven't, if you're, you know?
Well, everyone's experience is different. Kind of like you were saying with, you know, people who've been slaves, there's not one thing. So I'll speak a bit on my journey, but I don't want to say that is everyone's twin flame journey because, I don't think it's like that. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I think you have to be at a certain place in your spiritual development. Not necessarily to meet your twin flame, but it's like to come into full union where you are at a certain type of consciousness and ability to love yourself and anchor in yourself. I think you have to be there before you can really ascend with them, in a sense, or level up, as CG would say. He called, like, instead, he wouldn't use the word ascension. He would say like there's like leveling up, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have to be at a certain place and a certain desire to meet that person, which will help you grow. But in terms of false twin flame, I definitely had a false twin. That's my fault. I'm not putting it on the person, in the sense of I'd heard of the concept and I assumed the person years ago that I was romantically involved with was.
Yeah.
And I still think that person has a huge part, or had a huge part, who knows, in my journey and towards my growth and everything. But I'd say for me, the big difference in feeling between a false and an actual is ultimate safety. And I don't mean safety like I thought the other person was going to beat me necessarily. You know, it's not that kind of safety. It's this feeling of really coming home within, and just a certain kind of like,
but is it coming home in reference to them or coming home within yourself? I think like brought out by them.
I think it's more within, but it's also still the union.
Yeah.
And there's just this level of, it's so hard to explain, because it's like this subtle energy, but it just feels ultimately like for real family. Mm. And a certain kind of peace too. Mm-hmm. So I think true twin flameship isn't supposed to be about games. There's an honesty that can come out. Mm-hmm. And it's really on the utmost level about intimacy. Mm-hmm. Being seen and allowing someone to see you, which can only come first from true self-love. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to be seen? Are you ready for that intimacy?
Yeah. And I think that, like, kind of looping everything together before you get into Alice in Wonderland, I think being seen, like you said, just seeing somebody is one of the kindest things that you can do. So if you're thinking like, man, what can I do to be a better person? Like, just work on seeing the truth, like the beauty in who people are,
yeah,
you know, regardless of anything else. And I think that's just like, that's the best feeling in the world to be able to be on the receiving end of that.
Yes, exactly. And everyone wants to be seen. And even other than your twin flame, your friendships, you know, like starting to really be able to see people for who they are. And then in terms of the Alice in Wonderland thing, which I love Alice in Wonderland, it's really about taking this trip, Alice in Wonderland, deep inside, you know, into mm-hmm. that rabbit hole. And I think it's the journey of manifestation in a sense. And Adam and Eve is a part of that. And Adam and Eve doesn't, it can also be Adam and Steve. I just had to say that because I don't want to sound like anti-gay in any way with that no. Adam and Eve-ness, but it's like, it's the Godhead splitting. So it's the concept of you have God goddess head mm-hmm. where there's that oneness, that thing where gender is not yet split.
Yeah.
And then in the manifestation, the contraction that happens for something to even exist, I believe that those energies split somewhat while also being totally still in that intimate dance.
But it's divine feminine masculine, right?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's like the divine masculine feminine, the divine mother, father, mm-hmm. the moon and the sun.
Yeah.
It's these two things that were once one are quote unquote splitting, even though you can't really split those things up.
Because you're still always energetically connected.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it might feel like you're separated, but the truth is twin flames are married spiritually in that universe. You can't ever really separate them.
Okay.
But within that union and everything that comes in it is steeped in love, even though it might not feel like something's happening out of in that love. Mm-hmm. So Alice in Wonderland, that whole like, let's take a trip. I believe it's that let's manifest. Let's experience the illusion of separation from each other, from everything. But we're actually really always connected. And to me, evil is the illusion of disconnect from spirit and what mm-hmm. people do when they think they're separate from everything else. And that's where abuse of power can come in. Yeah. So Alice in Wonderland often taps in to the journey of just being a human and what it means to meet these other interesting characters and to try to find yourself and all of that. So that's how they kind of link up. But
yeah, no, I like that because I was listening to Lady Gaga's new album earlier on the way here, part of it. I haven't finished it yet. And she had a song that said something about like, my name's not Alice, but I'm still searching for my Wonderland. And Kate and I were having the discussion about, I was saying, I know that there's this like deep meaning behind Alice in Wonderland, but I still remember the kid version. You know what I mean? And I never, and also like Wizard of Oz had, you know, some other meanings. Like I've seen books on like the metaphysical perspective of Wizard of Oz and stuff like that. So I feel like it made me think to myself, like, what does that mean? And then she also handed me a glass that had Alice in Wonderland on there. Yeah. So we were getting the conversation and wanted to bring you guys into it.
Well, a lot of it's about like, think of Dorothy and Wizard of Oz coming home, mm-hmm. discovering who you are. Once again, meeting these different characters, witches and wizards of our truest power that we also disconnect from because we forget the truth of our being. But coming back to remembering that everything you need is really within.
Yep.
And it reminds me of the Rumi quote as well. What you seek is seeking you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it is we all have these pulls and these aches and these desires. And this is the journey of discovering who I am. What do I want? What excites me? What are my impulses? And learning to love yourself enough to really follow those dreams and those desires while meeting all these different people that might bring you closer to yourself or further from yourself. But it's all about discovering who you are, what you really want.
Love it. I feel like I'm a deeper person now as a result of this conversation.
Yes, I love talking with you. Well, it is time to wrap up, though. So where can people find you?
So I am a bar instructor, which is kind of random for me to add here. But I'm on Instagram. My IG handle is LoveFitStudio. So when you see that page, it's really dedicated to all of the work that I do with exercise and fitness. And that would be the absolute best way.
Yes. And so follow her there. And for me, I'm at the Kate Wolf. If you would like a tarot reading or a non-dual Kabbalistic healing, it's kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. Once comedy clubs are back up, I will be promoting my second comedy album recording. But I think for now, that is it. And once again, Kim, thanks so much for doing this. We've been talking about this for a while. So
yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you in this way.
And I'm going to apologize, even though we kind of made fun of it. But mine's going to be different. I'm sorry for anyone who wasn't able to see your brilliance and your beauty clearly, because you are incredible. So I want to apologize that unfortunately some people miss a goddess queen even when one's right in front of their face. So I apologize for all those idiots. No, I'm joking. No, I don't need it to get mean to people, but I apologize for anyone who didn't see you clearly.
Yeah, well, you know what, life is a journey, and at the end of the day, each step of the path leads you to a better space, so it's all beautiful.
Amen. And do not fuck with her, because she knows who she is now. So, and we'll both hex you. No, okay, this is getting weird.
I will not hex anybody, but Kate will.
I will, Kate for will, her. So. And for me. No, okay, anyway.
Thank you, Kate.
Guys. You're welcome. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.